There is a music revolution happening right now. We're going to give you something that looks like this. Really clean, really simple, far more powerful. It allows you to have libraries of music. It allows you to rip CDs. It allows you to create playlists, and it allows you to burn CDs all in one integrated application.
It's the sound of the future. That's the late Steve Jobs, Apple's co-founder, and introducing the world to iTunes nearly two decades ago, 2001. Well, yeah, it was certainly did end up creating a revolution. Within 9 years, iTunes became the largest music retailer on the planet. That killed off your local neighborhood record shop. Now, there are reports that the tech giant is mulling over the idea of shutting down iTunes. What might that mean? Might it happen? Jennifer Dudley Nicholson is National Technology Editor at News Corp. Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you.
What's the state of this conversation within Apple about iTunes? Is it just rumor or is there more to it?
Well, it is rumor, but it's pretty strong rumor at this point. And you never quite know with Apple because they don't let a lot of information out until they actually hold one of these events that everybody looks forward to. And that's the Worldwide Developers Conference that they're holding overnight at 1 a.m. in Australian time. And so they haven't actually confirmed this, but there's been so much said about it, and some very well-to-do people who've managed to predict things before have been saying, this is it, this is the end of iTunes, I know it.
So this Worldwide Developers Conference, this is huge. This is like the sort of Coachella for nerds. It's a big event.
It certainly is. They've got it in San Jose this year. They've had it in San Francisco before, but basically they just sell out entire venues. There are oodles of people everywhere. There's queuing for days, and these tickets are very hard to get as well. There's people who pay a lot of money for them, and there's also assembled media and people to report on it because it's just so popular. It's also streamed around the world as well, so hopefully we'll all find out about the health of iTunes.
Okay, so when something like this gets talked about at an event like that, it gets a bit of credibility. I mean, iTunes, as much as it was vaguely revolutionary back in 2001, you know, the time of Napster and CD burning, these days it's a pretty clunky piece of technology. Is it due for replacement?
I think a lot of people feel that way. I think there's definitely two camps at play here, because I think it's always been a bit of a clunky technology because it's wanted to do so much. And over time, it's been given podcasts and it's been given access to, you know, TV and movies within there. According to the rumors, Apple is going to split them up. So we're going to get a separate app for music, a separate app for television, because they're doing a television service soon. It's not launched in Australia just yet.
Yep.
And a separate app for podcasts, which makes a certain sense. But then you've got a camp of people who really like having all their music in one place. And so, you know, they rip their CDs over time. They're perfectly legitimately bought CDs. Some people may have some music left over that they managed to procure in different ways, i.e. Napster and LimeWire back when illegality was okay.
Yeah.
And I think that those are the people who are most at risk of losing their music libraries. And then there are also people who, once they've got all of these, their music in one place, they like to rip them to CD again so they can play them in their old school cars and on their different stereo systems that they've had for a long period of time. So it's kind of an emotional time for people.
It's pretty complicated. And I guess too, the people who've just bought music on iTunes might be lingering under the misapprehension that that's theirs now. That's not actually the case.
Well, it's funny because, I mean, hopefully, and because they've purchased it from Apple, then all of those songs that they've purchased should be able to be restored. But all of these sort of music and items that they've got from around the place, like even if they've purchased them on CD and they rip them themselves, Apple actually has nothing to do with that, so they don't have to restore that music to your new app. It'll be interesting when this actually officially gets announced and we know it for sure, what will happen to all of those songs and whether maybe there's a leeway and you can actually you know, push them across to the new app to still have access to them.
Because I guess, I mean, suddenly people will be taking a keen interest in the app, the iTunes terms and conditions, which may be something they read previously. But I guess
which is a Bible of a document. Yes,
indeed. There's good reason to not read it. I guess this points to what is becoming increasingly the way in which people consume music, which is to use streaming services rather than actually, you know, going in, finding an album, buying it, in quotes, and then playing it. But it's rather to stream and never actually, you know, possess those tunes on your own hard drive.
Absolutely. And I think that when this first came out, when Apple, you know, first started talking about this, and when Spotify first came out, a lot of people were very dismissive of it because the idea that you wouldn't own the songs that you loved was a very foreign concept.
Yep.
And now it's just, it's so pervasive and people own playlists rather than own the songs themselves. And you don't actually, once you stop paying for these services, as you say, you don't actually have access to that music anymore. So I think if they do decide to get rid of iTunes, it's a real recognition that we're in a completely new music era, and we're in an era where you have maximum choice, but you own virtually nothing.
It's another sign, and I guess, you know, things like Facebook are part of this too, of the things that just become part of the fabric of our lives, and we sort of imagine them to be things offered for some sort of broad social good, but they're actually private enterprise and they'll do what they damn well want to do with them.
Look, absolutely. Nobody's in there to give you free music, as it turns out. There's some cost in putting it all together. But it is interesting as well that, like, with the coming of iTunes, we saw sort of a move away from the era of albums where you just purchase the songs you like. And now with the era of streaming, you don't even purchase songs you like. You stream them, and that's how you sort of indicate that you like them. I guess this is just the next sort of evolution in that process.
Oh, it's a tremendously exciting time to be alive, Jennifer. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Jennifer Dudley-Nicholson, National Tech Editor at News Corp. This is Drive on RN.